Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Grace Christian Fellowship on an awesome day. Amen?
Amen.
Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Amen. Praise God. Awesome. Okay. Well, God's got me directed to Joshua, the first chapter, 1-9. Very similar to what we're going through, the training that Joshua went through Moses, through Christ. So let's begin here. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon as far as the great river, the river Euphrates. All the land of the Hittites, to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life, as I was with Moses. So I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Sound familiar? How he's still with us? Keep that in mind always. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and be in of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Remember that now, during these times right now. Okay? Please bow ahead and join me in prayer this morning. Dear Lord, I know you're present, Father God. Thank you for being everywhere today, Father God. Everybody needs, especially your children, needs a touch, special touch. Physical, spiritual. It's all about you, Father God, this morning. Thank you what you continue to do in our lives. Help us continue to be trained up the way you go. When we get old, we won't depart from. Now, I know we talk about our children, but we're still children of God. And as God is teaching us, and we receive those teachings today, community meditation, what the Lord's working through Pastor also to do, to share. I know we all have gifts. And serving right now is teaching is another thing. I know we're doing that also. But things that come to mind, things that your particular gift God's given you, are you using it? We have to question ourselves about that. Are we really doing that? If we're not, it's time to begin. And, you know, things, requests that we continue. You know, our supplications are being, it says God says he'll answer that. Ask and you shall receive. The thing is to make sure, please, when we ask, it's not about self, it's about the kingdom. Because then we got to maybe go around that mulberry bush a little bit. He's going to teach you a little bit now. It's about him, it's not about us. He's a loving God, and there's no condemnation here this morning. It's just, what he wants to do, he wants to share. This is what the Lord does. We want to be like him, we want to be Christ-like. We need to continue to grow and be humble. The humble God, that's one thing. You know, if you don't get anything else out of this, being humble, humility is huge. Huge in the kingdom. That's what Christ is. He's humble. So he wants us to follow his calling. He wants us to do the things we're called to do. He's not going to give you any more than you can handle. And during those times, those trials, tribulations, we're going to wonder if we do. If you stay close to him, you don't. You know he's there. He will not forsake you. That's many promises. Heard that many times. We've all heard it. But if we're new Christian, you need to, then must be on fire. I see that immediately a lot of times when people are just coming. And other people, I know over the years, we've kind of like gotten a little slothful. You know, so it's, yeah, kind of sit in a seat. But you know, once again, God loves you. And he says, yes, you can do all things in Christ Jesus. You're more than conquerors. He's in you is greater than he is in the world. We got to grasp those type of things. He didn't make junk. He created you in his image. And we need to come to him, to seek him first. He always says that. And what happens is a lot of times we know, comes back to mind, well, I've done this and that for years, and well, you know, the thing is, biggest thing, God's asking you, start praying. Praying about it first, then step out in faith. Okay? Start the prayer, and then step out. He didn't say stop, and sometimes he does, it waiting on him. But if you're, that's if you're worrying about things, don't do that either. But there's times he'll tell you to wait. And that's what he means. But physically, you can still keep doing the same things. If it's right, doing the same things you're doing. But he might be able to share something down the road when that time comes. It'll be perfect timing. You know, he has marked our steps. So everywhere we go, whatever we do, you know, he's gone ahead of us. He's done everything that we will see on this earth till the day God takes us home. It's only part-time, basically, I call it. Just here for a time and a season. And we got to be about the Father's business when that comes about. We have to be ready. Be diligent. Help us be diligent in you. In those prayers. You know, and we hear that. There's a lot of things going on. I don't care if it's family, in-laws, any of that. Jobs, if we're still working. Retired people in the community or whatever. You can go in another part of the country and you're still seeing people hurting. Those are the type of, that's why he said the harvest has been ready for a while. You know, we've been pleasingly, I call it fat, we're full. We're ready to explode at times, I'd say. But I hope those situations do arise for us, but call on him. You know, he can surprise you. He's testing you, but he's not giving you still more than you can handle. You know, you're full, you're ready to share. So help us continue to do what we're called to do. And we lift up Jim, as he's doing communion meditation, knowing his mind and his heart as the word goes through him. Also, Pastor, knowing his mind, his heart, and tongue as the word goes through him. Also, for teaching, purpose, for receiving today what's coming forth, that once again we'll be able to go out to those highways and byways as we get through out through this building. It's just a teaching time. It's nurturing time. It's getting fed. And then it's time for us to go into action for you, Lord. And we thank you for what you do. Thank you for who you are this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
I would like you to turn with me, please, to Matthew chapter 5 at verse 43. Matthew chapter 5, verse 43. And as the kids leave and you turn, I'm going to pray for this particular message. Thank you, Jesus, that you have chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise.
Yes.
And I pray, Father, that in this message that I really believe needs is dovetailing off of the communion meditation, Lord, will be clear to us. Father, glorify your Son. Jesus, glorify your word. Holy Spirit, minister to us in your Kratos power. Thank you. You have chosen this vessel that has failed so many times to proclaim your word. So may your word be proclaimed in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Matthew chapter 5, verse 43 through 48. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? For if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than the others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore, you shall be perfect, just as my Father in heaven is perfect. Hallelujah. Impossible words. Given to some impossible people to perform the impossible abilities. Jim talked about forgiveness. Jim talked about, in the communion meditation, about trauma. About both sides, those who give trauma and those who receive trauma. Well, I received some trauma yesterday that I want to share with you. I have a devotional here, and the devotional is one that Kathy and I have been doing. It's written by The Chosen, and if you haven't got these are excellent, excellent devotionals. But before I read this devotional, I'm going to share with you what the trauma was. And this particular trauma brewed up in me for the first hour or two, a whole lot of fleshly response. Oh, I'll tell you, I could come up with some really juicy things that I could have done, I could have said. What happened was that I went down to, and I'm going to read this devotional to you because it was after the trauma, then, and I came home and I'm talking with Kathy about what went on and we're praying together. And then I just looked at her and I said, Kathy, let's sit down and let's do a devotional right now. I really need to get my mind centered and cleansed, you know. So she said, okay. She sat down and this was the devotional. All right, and I'm going to read it to you after I share with you the trauma. For decades, I have been given the privilege in Winchester at the town deliberative session to open it up in prayer. And it's been an honor to stand before the Lord and intercede for our town. And yesterday, I had an official, I'm not going to name any names in this, okay, but an official came up to me and pulled me off to the side and said, Pastor, we're really glad that you do this for us and all, and but just some things have kind of materialized here in the last week or two, and so I need to let you know that I have to ask you that when you pray, that you do not use the name of Jesus. And again, I could just feel the Tabasco sauce coming up my legs. I could feel myself starting to get heated up, you know. But I maintain myself. I am proud of myself that I didn't yell and scream and jump up and down and all that stuff. And I just looked at her and I said, Why? Why? Well, yeah, some emails have been going back and forth, and some people have been talking, and there's been a couple of people really upset about that because it's being offensive. And I'm thinking to myself, good. But I didn't say that. And then this official said that it even went to the state level. And the state level informed of this official that prayer has been a tradition in New Hampshire for decades and decades. And yes, it can continue, but it cannot support one particular religion over another. Therefore, this official said that I could not use the name of Jesus. Now I'm going to share with you some of my fleshly responses to myself. I did not to him. Although there was, I think, one thing I did say, I said, you know, this really smells of a lawsuit. But I started thinking about it, and I did talk with one other official that was blindsided by this, and he even said, well, you know, I take issue with the name of Jesus, but I don't take issue with you using it in prayer. If people don't like it, they can put fingers in their ears or something. And all this time, I'm getting more and more upset. I might like to say it was righteous anger, but it wasn't. It was fleshly response. So I came up with an idea. And I actually bounced it off of this official. I said, okay, look, I'll compromise with you in this respect. I won't use the name of Jesus, but I'm going to pray in Elohim. I'm going to pray in Jehovah. I'm going to pray. And I started, you know, rattling off of these names that the Bible uses. And he just looked like that, and he put his head down and shook it. And he says, please don't do that. You're going to make my life miserable. So I told him, I said, okay, look. And he did tell me, he says, those emails that went back and forth, I'll send you copies of them, okay? I'll send them to you. I said, if you give me your email address, I gave my email, I gave my card, which has my email address and my phone numbers. And he did send me the emails. And in these emails, I was not just, it was said in those emails that it was offensive and it was putting one religion over another. But I was also called a very polarizing figure in our town.
No way.
Now, that's a defamation of character in the essence. But you know something? I looked at that and I said, you know something? Thank you for recognizing that. I am a polarizing figure. I'm supposed to be polarizing. You know what polarizing means? You ever take a magnet, two magnets, and you go to put the positive to the positive together? What happens?
That's not how they meant it.
I realize that. I know exactly what they meant. But again, I will not tell you who said that. But I have record of it. I also now have record in written form that this official that asked me not to pray in the name of Jesus actually said in writing that, yes, he did ask me not to. He didn't tell me not to. He asked me not to. But when he asked me, it was very, very firm. Now, I say all of that to say this, when we're talking about trauma. Excellent. I mean, we couldn't have planned this better, Jim. We really couldn't have. Because I was traumatized by this. And I'm mad, and I'm angry, and I'm upset. And I was like, I'm seeing decades of tradition in our town being thrown out the door. Because very few people were offended and voiced it, and because the very few people were offended and voiced it, now the whole town does not get to hear the name of Jesus at that deliberative session yesterday. But we ain't done yet. But I'm going to get a hold of Alliance Defending Freedom. I'm going to find out exactly what I can and cannot do. In regards to this, I believe that there is documented court cases where that has been thrown out and the name of Jesus could be used. But I have to have documentation of that. And if I can perform that or produce that documentation, then the town official already told me we will move ahead next year with the name of Jesus.
What did you do this year?
I did nothing. I refused. I said, if I cannot use the name of Jesus Christ in our town,
right,
and you are going to make it a generic prayer to make you feel good, I refuse to do it.
Right.
Do not call me up. If you do, call me up. I will pray in the name of Jesus, whether you like it or not, or anybody in this town likes it or not, because I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation for all who believe, the Jew first and also us Winchesterites. But when I got home and I'm talking with Kathy, and And Kathy is, she's a very dear, dear friend of mine. And she starts, she did, but she doesn't do this. She said, "Oh, Matthew, it's gonna be okay. You know, just calm down and things are gonna be..."
Take your medicine.
Take your medicine. No, Kathy said, "Guard your heart. Guard your heart, Matthew. Be careful where you allow the thought process, because I know you. Be careful where you go in your thought process with this, because the devil would love to get a hold of this and drag you down." So I said, "You know, okay, Kathy, let's just sit on the couch, do a devotional together, and help me calm down." And this was the devotional we opened up to. You know, God is really cool. He really is. The devotion is called love. The scripture is out of Matthew chapter 5, verse 43 through 48. "You have heard that it was said," and I'd read it, and I'm going to read it again, "You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons and daughters of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. You, therefore, must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." Oofta. There, we said it. Loving everyone, including your enemy, is a really beautiful sounding idea. That is, until you have an enemy. Then it sounds nuts and downright impossible. Also impossible to be perfect like your Father in heaven. That was included in that scripture too. Spoiler alert, God knows we'll never be perfect this side of heaven. So why on earth did Jesus say it? Why did he waste his breath on such a lofty, unrealistic mandate like love your enemies? Well, first of all, we don't have to look very far to know what not loving looks like. Just turn on the news to see how political enemies behave. The horrible behavior and dialogue is everywhere you look on both sides of the aisle, which is no doubt one of the many reasons Jesus didn't bother with politics. He didn't take sides because he's on his own side. It's not just politics that puts humanity's broken brand of love on display. There are Twitter trolls, cyberbullies, and cancel culture warriors. There are feuds that land in divorce court, family court, probate court, civil court, and criminal court, like the Hatfields and McCoys without the hats. There are protests, parades, and boycotts, infighting and backstabbing, school shootings and prison sentences, class warfare and actual warfare. There's little compromise, no forgiveness, lots of paranoia, a far too much estrangement because we keep the proverbial chip on our shoulder. We give the brush off and we get stuff stuck in our craw. Sounds like real life, doesn't it? And while it might feel good to lick our wounds and engage our bitterness, remember this I'm reading to help calm me down. Our way of loving and hating doesn't work. We're collectively miserable. We literally make ourselves sick with anger and hate, panic attacks, heart attacks, insomnia, ulcers, chronic pain in our backs and necks where we carry all our stress and unresolved feelings. Our brows spent a ton of time furrowed, and we gift ourselves with permanent frown lines, and for what? Nothing good comes from hate. Whatever momentary self-satisfaction we experience when we entertain, it leaves behind darkness and a hardness of heart, like cement that begins to cure while we're standing in it up to our knees. Considering our options, perhaps Jesus' command to love our enemies is as much for our own sake as theirs, because love moves us forward, out of the pain, hurt, loss, or selfishness that got us stuck there in the first place. So how do we love our enemies the way God loves his? One way, Jesus. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. It is, in fact, too lofty a virtue for us to love our enemies. Apart from Jesus, we're simply not capable of sustaining such a grace-filled, self-effacing, self-denying behavior, even if we choose kindness momentarily. Eventually, the moment ends, and we're left with the hate we began with. But God's resources are endless. He never runs out of patience and mercy, never tires of doing good, never ceases to pursue us, forgive us, and lead us to greener pastures. And here's the really cool part. When we agree Jesus died on the cross to forgive us from sin and rose again victorious over that sin and all its consequences, the Holy Spirit then indwells us. Meaning, God lives in us, changing us and loving others in his impossible and perfect way through us. In our own strength, we'll never truly love our enemies. And on this side of heaven, we'll never be perfect the way God is perfect. But we're in the process of being made perfect because God is transforming us into the image of his Son, the one who's perfect already. The one whose love has no boundaries and no end. The one whose sacrifice on the cross made it possible for us to know him more and more. And the one we'll spend eternity with, our earthly sinfulness gone, surrounded by the people we helped love into heaven, maybe even our enemies. Ufta, there, I said it. Now here's the prayer focus. I love this devotional because it gives a prayer focus and also moving forward. Pray. I believe that this devotional not only touched me, but maybe it touched some of you in here this morning. Pray that God will reveal any hate you've allowed to remain in your heart. Pray for the people who are hard for you to love. Ask God to make you more like Jesus, allowing you to love the unlovable for his sake and for his kingdom. Moving forward, loving our enemies doesn't automatically mean being friends with them. Some people are toxic. Some people are abusive, and we simply can't be in relationship with them for the sake of our physical or emotional safety. Some people harbor their own bitterness and wouldn't want a restored relationship even if we offered it to them. Some people have died, and nothing can be said or done, at least in this life. But regardless of your physical proximity to someone, Jesus wants your heart to remain soft and compassionate, which is possible when Jesus has your heart. Who do you struggle to love and why? What is God saying to you about your heart? What is he saying about your heart? The most important part of forgiveness is not that just that you have given forgiveness to this person, but you are releasing them from yourself. Therefore, you are no longer bound to the atrocity that person did, the trauma that person caused. You're not bound to it anymore because you've released it. How could Jesus go through all that he went through and be able to look down in the midst of all that trauma, thank you, Jim, and say to those ones who had crucified him, Father, forgive them, because they just don't understand. Right. So with that,
We went to see The Chosen last night. So
no spoiler alerts, we're going Thursday.
I want to share one scene because it speaks to this issue dramatically. Jesus had just named Simon Peter. He just named him Peter. And everybody in the group is saying, you know, why is he naming Peter? Because he's so off the wall and, he's elevating him to a position of authority. And Matthew goes to Jesus at the campfire alone, and he says, you know, why can you put him in that position? Because he's been so hurtful to me. He says, I realized that I was a tax collector and I hurt him. But he's been hurting me ever since, relentlessly. And he says something in the abstract, am I in the wrong here? And Jesus says, no, there's no abstract here. We're talking real. What did you do? And he says, well, I gave up my heritage. I gave up my people. I gave up my family, everything to become a tax collector. I was a traitor. And he says, don't you think that affected Peter? And he says, you hurt him first. And he said, you need to go to Peter and ask for his forgiveness, because you haven't done that. It takes him a couple days, and he finally goes up to Peter and Andrew are walking. He says, could I have a moment with Peter? And Andrew says, no. And he's joking. He says, yeah, you can have him. So he walks away. And he says Matthew says to Peter, I need your forgiveness. I've never asked for it all this time. And Matthew is dumbfounded because Peter just walks off. Doesn't say a word, just walks off. And then things go on and days go on, and finally they're all standing in the middle of Capernaum. And Peter storms right up and he grabs a hold of Matthew. It goes like this and he says, it's over. I forgive you. And it's one of the most powerful scenes in the whole episode, because Jesus was able to work on both of them and bring reconciliation, and that's what it's all about.
Amen.
Wow.
Amen.
I like that.
Amen. Okay. You have heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you and do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. This whole service seems to be centered around trauma, hurt, unforgiveness, need to give forgiveness, this need to receive forgiveness. I'm praying that God will give me opportunity to be his ambassador to those who are sending those emails around about me. I want to go to one in particular person, and I want to say, can I take you out for lunch? I want to sit down and I want to share with you what my life is about. But I like to do it just over breaking bread, and I want to hear about you. Can we do that? I want to know you. I want to know what makes you tick the way you tick, because I would like you to know how I tick and why I tick the way I tick. I can go at it. We can go at it like this. Or we can go at it like this. What did Jesus do? Stretched out his arms and said, Father, forgive them, because they don't understand. They don't know what they do. To think they took Jesus against his will and threw him down on that cross and stretched out his hands, his arms, and his feet and drove those nails through them, and Jesus had no choice, is not true. They could not do it. Thing to him without his permission. Because even though he was man, he was God.
Right.
And they could not have thrown one nail through him without his consent, because he's sovereign. And he forgave. Then Jesus said, do the same. If you're struggling with forgiveness, and maybe the person you're struggling with forgiveness towards, you could never be reconciled. That's not the point. It's beautiful if that happens, but the point is, can you release yourself from it? Can you release that person from you and from the trauma they caused you? Are you willing to do that? Because if you're not willing to do that, what's going to happen is a deep hate, a deep bitterness, a deep anger that will control your life. And there may be times you're going to be able to put on a pretty smile, but deep inside, you're just churned up all the time. God wants you free. He wants you free. So I'm going to ask you, we're going to go to prayer. And the worship team could come up and sing and lead us in worship. But as we worship, I'm going to ask you, if you're really struggling, don't you worry about what anybody else thinks. Look, they're going up to the front, and they must really have something that they really can't deal with. Well, yeah, then probably you do too, and they just got more courage than you do.
That's right.
So I'm going to ask you, if you're really struggling, as we sing, as we worship, you come up here. Kneel before the Lord, lay prostrate on the ground, on the floor before him. You want prayer? Tom, Jim, you come on up and we'll anoint you with oil. We'll lay hands on you and we'll pray for you. If you're bound up with a spirit of unforgiveness, we'll cast it out. We'll get rid of that sucker so that you're not bound by it anymore. Amen?
Amen.
So let's sing. And stand, and we're going to worship. And if you're really struggling, come on up. I struggled with unforgiveness towards those people yesterday. I've been set free from that. But I'm not going to let that root get in me. And God wants to lay the axe to the root in your life that's bearing bad fruit. If it's unforgiveness, then come on up. Let's go.
The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice. All the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? All will see how great is our God. Age to age he stands, and time is in his hands, beginning and the end, beginning and the end. The Godhead three in one, Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great our God. Sing with me how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God.